If you're wondering, did I hear this same thing last week? You're right. You're right. We have stayed on this in this series on vision because this is where part of that vision began, Jesus calling his disciples together. So let's just review for a minute last week. Last week we talked about how Jesus didn't stay on the sentiments of who the crowd thought that he was. Okay, Jesus cared about the multitudes. He cared about what they thought. That's why he asked the disciples about it. It's just that Jesus did not get tangled up in the opinions of society because he knew that society needed to be redeemed and connected to the Father again. That's why he came. Jesus came so that he would be the bridge and he would die on the cross to save us from our sins, to save us from ourselves, and to reconcile us to the Father. So he cares about what you and I think. Every person has an opinion or two. Everyone should. It means that we care. It means that we take the time to think about it enough to form an opinion. But he was most interested in what his disciples had to say. He wanted to hear from them. And today, I think Jesus would say something like, you know, I know what the world thinks of me. I know what the world believes of me. How about you? Do you really know who I am? Does Bethany really know who I am? So today, following off the children's story, there's a lot of name-calling going on in these passages here. I mean, they're calling Jesus all kinds of names. King Herod said earlier, he said, this is John the Baptist, raised from the dead. A Canaanite woman said, this is the son of David. Simon Peter, on one occasion, said, Lord, if it is you, bid me to walk on the water and to come to you. And in this passage, he says, you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. I read some commentators this past week who felt that when Simon Peter answered, he was sort of being the official or unofficial spokesperson for the group. Others say that he was just being his impetuous self. You know, first one to talk. So there's something to think about there. But when Simon Peter responds, Jesus says, Simon Bar-Jonah. Now that's his whole name, okay? When someone calls you your first, middle, and last name, what do you think? Somebody says, I'm in trouble. They want to make sure they get my attention. Well, Simon Peter is the furthest thing from trouble. He is square, dead center, bullseye on his answer, and Jesus lets him know that. He says, you all are calling me all these kind of names. I'm going to give you a new name, Simon Peter. You are now called Peter. And it's on this rock that I will build my church. There's a name play going on there when you look back into the ancient languages. They're very close in how they're spelled and how they're said. So he renames him. He renames him. He says, you are now the rock. You're Peter. There's a precedent for this in the Bible. It has happened before. In the Old Testament, there's Abram, which means revered father. He became Abraham, which means father of a multitude, Genesis chapter 17. Another instance was when Jacob became Israel. So Jesus the Christ becomes Jesus Christ. And what that means is the person and the office become one. It means they're seamless. Jesus of Nazareth is the only Messiah there ever was, there ever will be. And to the Christian, whether it is in the body of Christ made up of Catholic or Eastern Orthodox or Protestant or Anabaptist or Independent and many other branches of the Christian family, Jesus Christ is King and Savior and Lord of all. Amen. And I think the point here is that whenever you recenter your life on Jesus, you become a new person. And things that were unclear now become clear. And as we said, people are calling you names all the time. Dad, mom, sister, brother, employee, teammate, lover, tax-paying citizen. I mean, all of them, right? And Jesus says to Peter, you, Simon Peter, you are now Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. As you can imagine, there's many different understandings about this or interpretations down through all the centuries with all people all around the world. Our Catholic brothers and sisters read this verse and for centuries have believed that Jesus personally conferred upon the person and apostle Peter the chair and the authority to lead the church. You are the rock, and on you I will build my church. In other words, Jesus is the big rock. Peter is the next biggest rock. And by this, Jesus made Peter to be the first pope, the first shepherd, the first overseer of the church. And all future chairs and leaders would descend from Peter in authority. That's the Catholic understanding, in a nutshell, generally speaking. For we who are Protestants, and for our other sisters and brothers in Christ, Eastern Orthodox, to us, the rock is not the person, it's Peter's confession of faith. It's what he said. It's his response. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we as Protestants, we believe that that is the rock on which the church is built. Now again, Jesus is the only true rock of the church. All Christians agree with that, regardless of the branch. It's as we sing. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. Remember that one? Do we know that one? Okay. I looked at another one in the hymnal that I found. It's about 10 pages away from that over on 559. I wonder if you know this one. 559. Christ is made the sure foundation. Christ the head and cornerstone, chosen of the Lord and precious, binding all the church in one. Does that sound familiar? I see a lot of blank stares. I don't think that's as familiar as the church's one foundation. What do you see, choir? The point is this, whenever you recenter your life on Jesus, you become a new person. And Jesus is saying, when that person and that confession become one, watch out. Not even the gates of hell will prevail against that. Okay? I think that's one of our challenges today, is to recenter our life and our beliefs and our values in Christ. And some of you as Christians, you recenter your life through weekly worship. Others of you may do that through small group experience. Some Christians do that less so. Some not much at all. Some recenter their life in Christ by doing, by serving. Serving the Lord, helping others, volunteering. But I think it's one of the challenges of this day for all who name the name of Christ to recenter our lives on Christ and who he is because there's just so much other stuff out there. All of it competing, isn't it? Last month, WiseGeek.com came out with an interesting statistic. WiseGeek says that according to NASA, there are 3,000 satellites orbiting Earth right now. 3,000 satellites. The U.S. keeps track of them through the Space Surveillance Network, SSN. SSN also keeps track of thousands of smaller pieces of satellites, pieces that are burning, pieces that have an unstable orbit. They even know what country they belong to. And they refer to these pieces as space junk. Space junk. And I read that and I thought, you know, the challenge to center our lives in Christ is difficult because we all have so many satellites in our lives, so many other things swirling around, good things, necessary things, helpful things, lovely things, people that we love and things that we do that add fun and meaning to our living, lots of satellites in our lives. But to me, what's more alarming is that we all have space junk whirling around in our lives and all around us. And sometimes the junk overwhelms everything else. Can you hear what I'm saying this morning? Sometimes it overwhelms everything else. And the satellites sometimes want to be the center. They don't want to be satellites anymore. They want to be front and center. And Jesus is saying, I think, he's saying it's hard for me to be the center when a satellite or a piece of junk is vying for center. And worse yet, when you deliberately put it there. So here's the good news. Jesus is saying that when that person and the confession become one, watch out, not even the space junk has any authority over our lives. Not even the gates of hell have a chance when Christ is at the center. And for the church, I think that means that when the teaching and the governing and the discipling and the loving and the pastoring and the serving and the preaching of the good news for individual salvation as well as for the salvation of all the nations, when all of that comes together and all of that is aligned, watch out. Jesus says, I'm going to give them power. I'm going to give them power to love the unlovable, to love their enemies as themselves, to give away that third and fourth coat they have in their closet and to give it to someone who has none. To be mindful of how much they eat when others don't have enough to eat at all. And when the confession and the person come together, Jesus becomes Lord of all, even all that space in between. I think it's what Jesus hoped for his disciples, and I think it's what he hoped for us. And unfortunately, the picture of the church in America is just not that bright for the day in which we live. I mean, besides a 5-week surge in attendance after 9/11, worship attendance in a church or affiliation with a church in the U.S. has essentially plateaued or declined. It's affected very little by who the president is. It's affected very little by who has majority in the House or in the Senate, or how many wars there are in the world, or what the prime rate is, or how Wall Street is doing, because ultimately it's a spiritual issue. Jesus knew there would be turbulent times. He knew that we would have a cross to bear individually and together and perhaps even as a nation. And that's why he said in verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So what are they? I wish he would have included another verse in here and said, and here's what it is, but he doesn't do that. Let me offer this to you. The first one is the relational keys. The church is about relationships. And that is to forgive sin in the name of Jesus and by God's grace to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the kingdom of heaven. To love and to forgive. to be able to extend grace to one another, for me to extend your grace and for you to receive my grace. The church is about relationship, and this goes for everyone, ordained, non-ordained, paid, volunteer, child, youth, adult, everyone. It's relational. That's a key. Another key is practical, and that is to do the same ministry that Jesus did and the new ones for our day. Healing and feeding the hungry, offering them shelter, meeting spiritual and physical needs, helping in times of crisis. It takes people, time, it takes money, it takes dedication to do that for all of us. And it takes everyone saying, what needs doing? How can I help? What can I do? How can I participate? And join together to do it out of love for Christ and for the person. And we don't back down from that here at Bethany. We believe that's important for everyone to do something. Something. Because we've seen prayer answered. Because we've seen people's lives renewed. Because we've seen hope restored when there was no hope. And we know that God is real. And we know that faith is real. And it's very practical for us here at Bethany. Here's the third thing, authority. Jesus says, I will give you authority. That's ordering the life of the church. That's carrying out administration. That's vision. That's charting the course, because Jesus knew, and we know, that the church grows and changes over the years. Some come and some go. And he experienced it himself, didn't he? With Simon Peter, who betrayed him. For Judas, who did. So there has to be discipline. There has to be some guidelines there. And the fact that this rock named Peter will also be the same Peter who denies Jesus three times in his greatest hour of need is a reminder that all of us are human. That all of us have sin. And no one is without it. That all of us need salvation from self, from the devil, from hell. And all of us need to be saved, not just from something, but for something. Saved for a better life. Saved for Jesus. Saved for our neighbor's sake. Saved for heaven. Saved for being an example, warts and all, to those who come behind us, so that we can light a way for them. We're being saved for that too. And all of it is by grace. All of it is nothing but sheer, loving, amazing grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And all of us are under construction. Amen? Amen. We're all under construction, always growing, always learning, always getting stronger, always getting second chances. Praise the Lord. And even though Jesus says that we hold the keys, we do not get to decide who goes to heaven and who does not. We don't get to decide to open or to close the kingdom of heaven for others. One more key. It's a very important key. And that is to let God use each one of us in a way that helps others find the way. That helps somebody else find their way home. That there's a better life than the life now being lived. Here are some thoughts for your meditation as we close. Take a moment now and just think about the different names and titles that people call you. Do you see how rich your life is? Now take a moment and just think of the names for Jesus that you use most often in your prayers. What are the names and titles of Christ that you use in your prayers? And think about those names that you use in your conversation. Here's the last thing. And be honest. Is Christ at the center of your life right now? There's a saying I've heard. Christ gives second chances, but he doesn't take second place. Lord, keep speaking to us, keep talking to us, and keep the conversation going. We want to be found faithful, Lord, in your sight and by you. And I pray, Lord, that you'll take the words of inspired scripture here, the words that you've given me, Lord, to share this morning, that you'll use them ultimately for good for your kingdom. For each one of us as individuals, as families, as this place called Bethany. And for those who hear it today, and for those who hear about it through our website in days and weeks to come, Lord, may it bring about the good that you intend and draw us all closer to you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.